Ready! World! World class! Do not scratch your eyes!
This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get into today. And thanks to everybody who is checking us out. If you're listening to us on 97.1 The Fan, this is a soccer podcast that we usually put out on Thursdays every week. So if you want to follow us on your favorite podcast app, you can go find us. The Fan app as well. We'll have it on Thursdays. But of course, you can also listen to it right here on The Fan Saturdays throughout the soccer season. So plenty to get to today. We will talk about one team in the Premier League apologizing to their fans in a pretty unique way. That's how you know your season's going well, when you've got an apology to the fans and some money changing hands over that apology. Big stuff in the Premier League, the match of the year, at least in billing and resume.
On paper.
Yeah, that was this past week, and did not go well for one of the teams involved. The other team is looking unstoppable. We'll talk about that. And all your other relegation battles, which are getting heated up now, too.
Yeah, it's getting feisty down there.
Yes, it is. That's right. That's the fun
Leeds
time.
Leeds super fan having squeaky bum time.
Hey, man. Yes, we'll talk more, because my Leeds right now are just sitting there. They're not my Leeds. They're the team I picked this year. And I'm trying to break my streak of not having every team I pick instantly get relegated the year I pick them as my team.
All right, so you mentioned you just pick a team randomly, and I feel like we haven't had a Neighbor Eric update in a while. So, Neighbor Eric, and if you're listening on the radio show, like, you won't get this. Anyways.
Neighbor Eric is Beam's soccer-loving neighbor who literally knows nothing about any other sport than soccer.
Likes the Blue Jackets.
A little, yeah, okay, he knows Jackets, but, like,
other than that,
not familiar with who Jim Tressel is.
Yeah, ask me if this Tressman character was still the head coach at Ohio State, like, a couple of years ago. It's like, no, that's been, like, 10 years since Jim Tressel got fired.
And there was a whole other coach. There was a national championship. Yeah. And then that guy's gone. And now there's another guy.
Yeah. So anyways, I was talking to him the other day, and we were taking the boy out for a walk and had the dog, and he came out. It was actually yesterday, because they were getting ready. Him and his lovely, lovely wife were getting ready to go to the crew game out to the U.S. Open Cup. And I asked him, I was like, hey, man, yeah, how you doing? You know, good. We're fine. I was like, yeah, big match today. You know, Arsenal and City going off. And he goes, oh, I forgot to tell you. And this is why I love Eric so much, because Eric, again, diehard crew fan, nothing else really matters. Like, he picked Everton as his Premier League team just because, like, some U.S. players were playing there back in the day. Like,
yeah.
And he's just kind of stuck with Everton, but he doesn't really like the Premier League. Like, I'm pretty sure he only watches them when they play Liverpool and when they play Manchester United. So Eric is a good friend with one of the guys who runs the Liverpool supporters group. So I've gotten to know them too. Like, that's his best friends, the Liverpool fans. Then he's next door neighbors with a Manchester United fan. And just out of nowhere the other day, he goes, I forgot to tell you what was going on. Out of nowhere, he drops this. He's like, I'm now a City supporter. Like, I looked at him, I said, what? He goes, Everton are boring and they stink and they might get relegated. I've just changed teams. And I looked at him, I'm like, you can't do that. Like, why would you change the City knowing that I'm a United fan? He goes, well, my other friends are Liverpool fans too, and I want to see you guys cringe, so I've just chosen City. I've dropped Everton, and now I'm going to City. I'm like, you know what, Eric, fair game.
I appreciate game to you. A guy who says, I'm picking up a new team, and I'm going to do the team that's going to piss off all my friends. That's what I'm going to do.
Out of nowhere, he's like, I don't care about Everton, and nor do I care about City, but if it's going to make you guys dislike me even more, I've just decided that now I'm going to support Manchester City.
Let me defend Neighbor Eric's decision there just for a moment, because, yes, for many years I have, because my team is Sunderland. They are currently in the second division. They were in the third division for many years. So I've been trying to have a Premier League team to watch just while they're down. And so I pick a team. I pick Fulham one year.
Watford
one year. They got relegated this
Leeds
year. I picked Leeds.
Year.
And usually there was either like a friend of mine is a big Watford fan. You know, Fulham is full America. There's always an American player, Tim Ream now with Fulham. Yeah. I think just crossed over some threshold.
Jedi Robinson.
Anthony Robinson as well. So you've got, like, reasons there that I picked them. Yeah. Leeds I picked is obviously lots of American players and at the time an American coach, and was just rooting for that. But I have no loyalty to these teams.
Right.
Neighbor Eric has no loyalty to these teams. Like Neighbor Eric, I'm a crew fan. So if you ask me to switch my MLS team, blasphemy.
Yeah.
Never. Not in a million. You could. Mm-hmm. if they had moved, I would just quit watching MLS. Yeah. I have too much animosity against the rest of those teams. In the Premier League, I watch it like I'm just, I don't know, I'm observing a menu at a restaurant. I'm like, all of these look wonderful. That looks enticing. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting. You know what? Someday might give that a whirl. Like, that's literally, I'm just looking at it going, let's see what it's like to today be a West Ham United supporter. Why not? Let's go.
Let's blow bubbles.
Right. Let's, why forever blowing bubbles? Green Street Hooligans. Very much familiar mm-hmm. with their culture. I don't need to learn anything else. I can just be a fan of West Ham. That's it. I got it. Yeah, I'm just saying, I respect where he's coming from, though, to say, why do I want to dabble with the crap?
Yeah.
Why don't I go?
I'm not a crap dabbler.
Yeah.
don't crap dabble me.
Don't crap dabble me.
He just went full board opposite way. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to start supporting City. And I actually looked at him and was like, I kind of respect you for that. That's a pretty good good job.
At least you didn't say, you know what? I've decided Chelsea. And it's like, this year?
Right. Why would you do that?
This would not be the year.
If your car's on fire in your driveway and you wonder who did it, don't look at me.
Rivalry runs thick in your household. Oh, that's right. I know. So we will, of course, get to actual Premier League discussion a little bit later. Let's talk about the Crew. Since we last discussed, we have a few things that have happened. Mm-hmm. One, they went to Charlotte and lost.
Yep.
And that was not expected, I would say. I said on Twitter after this, this felt like kind of a must-win game. And then a few people instantly like, how's it must-win? It's not even a third of the way through the season. Right. This is a crap team. You're on the road. You're still missing your best player, although now Cucho's coming back, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, if expectations change a little bit, right? We went from like a team that we're hoping makes the playoffs to now a team that's like possibly top four.
Yeah.
You got to go to Charlotte. If you're a top four team, go out there, beat Charlotte, get your 3 points. You maybe should have wanted to get at home against New England, but you found a way to get a tie there. That's good. I rescued those points. Now go and make up something where you're on the road. Instead of getting 1 point, you get three. And instead, that's not what happened. I'm just saying, not that they're a bad team or anything, not that they still can't finish top four or possibly even go win the whole thing and be the Supporters' Shield champs, but those are the types of games it feels like early in a season that build a Supporters' Shield resume.
Well, a team that hasn't yet got their foot under them. They only had one win. Talking about Charlotte.
Yeah.
Only one win, and that was on the road. They hadn't had a home win yet down at Bank of America Stadium. Yeah, you're right. Like, if that team's, you know, kind of on interesting footing or they're a little bit rocky to start the year, like, you're playing pretty well at the minute. So go out there, get 3 points. Now, I wasn't reacting the same way that you were. I think it was lost when you, and I know we're going to get into this, like the Will Sands injury. Like, then that throws all of your game plan and what you practice for and what you were trying to accomplish perhaps into a bit of a sidewinder, like into a blender. And then Yaw Yeboah comes in and he's finishing out the game. Like, are you really familiar with that position? Like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, that was a tough deal for him. That's a tough assignment. Yaw Yeboah is not really suited to that, I don't think. It's not really his ideal spot.
And it wasn't his fault. I mean,
no, of course. They just had to throw someone in.
Yeah.
Right. But I think you're right. So the way the game played out, frustrating. It's just those are the types of things that you'd like to see them get 3 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, when you see your team get 3 points all the time, I'm just saying, if you have aspirations of being a Supporters' Shield winner this year, which was, again, a lofty jump from where we started the season to now, but they go on a nice little winning streak against some crappy teams. So the things we're learning about this team essentially are that still a ways from fully realizing what they can be. I think offensively they especially, and we saw this against Indy 11, the U.S. Open Cup win, they did get the win. Cucho Hernandez came back and played first 45 minutes. They subbed him out at halftime.
I was very happy when he got subbed off.
Yes, he was not great. Had a shot on goal, tried to do a bicycle kick. I mean,
it doesn't look like he knows his instructions, and I don't know if that's on Wilfried Nancy or if that's on him or they're playing him kind of in a different spot. Like, I'm not really sure what was going on, but it looked like that was kind of the case to me.
Could be an adjustment that has to be made for both manager and player there, and more time, more familiarity. You know, I'm sure there's, and I don't mean this in a bad way towards either of these men, like, there's probably some ego involved, a little bit of, this is the way I need you to play, and this is the way I play, you know? And both those discussions have to, maybe easier to go up to a player like Mo Farsi and say, this is what I need you to do.
Okay, coach.
Mo Farsi might be a little bit more like, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I want to play first team minutes. And he's shown well, and obviously he scored the goal that got them the W and helped them move on the Open Cup. By the way, that's a nice thing. Let's not gloss over the fact that the Crew have often lost weird games in the Open Cup. So Now,
they lost to Detroit last year.
Yeah, that was entirely frustrating, especially when the coach at the time was talking about how we want to win championships and every trophies everywhere, and they did win trophies. I'm not saying they didn't, but Open Cup was something they said they were going to get focused to, and they didn't do as well in it as we'd like the last few years. I'm not saying this is the year I'm expecting them to go on some big U.S. Open Cup run, but I'm glad to see them get the win that they should against an inferior side.
Yes.
Even though it's a midweek game and you're trying to splice everybody's minutes up and work it out. Mo Farsi getting the goal. Nice moment. Good finish from him. I hope that the Cucho thing will evolve over the next month or two, and that by midsummer we're seeing this thing really click into, you know, a better focus for this team.
And maybe that's just getting back into form. You know what I mean? Like, 45 minutes, you've been in training, like, you've been out for a little bit. Like, let's get you back. But the thing that I couldn't understand, and again, this is, like, super small issue, and obviously Cucho has the talent to be able to, you know, be one of the best in MLS. Like, play him as a striker. He was just kind of roaming around in this game.
Right,
like,
I don't really
– he just didn't fit in or, like, ever grow into the game. And again, I'll put that as, like, blip on the radar, like – this is a U.S. Open Cup opponent. Like, you're at home. There's not a well-attended event. Like, it's a midweek game. You're just getting back from injury. You only played 45 minutes. Like, I attribute it to that.
Yeah.
But hopefully moving forward, as these minutes start to build up and then he gets back into the starting 11 and then you start to play full 90 minutes, like, hopefully there is communication that has been issued, like, hey, play as a striker, get onto the ball, touch the ball into the box, because that was not happening.
Yeah, I would like to believe, too, and there's always something coming back from injury, the mental side of it, too, of – can I trust this injury? Can I get back to full speed? Can I play the way I want to? And maybe there's a little bit of, this is a U.S. Open Cup game. You're putting me out here. I'm excited to go play. But also mentally that, you know, it's not MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not for a major trophy at this moment. It's an early round thing in this bigger tournament, which is cool. And I'm sure he wants to win every game he goes out there and plays in. But I'm sure he also knows, I don't want to just go back out and get re-injured.
Right.
There's got to be something subconsciously, at the very least, of coming back from injury.
At least the first few times.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully this also built some confidence. I guess that's the other thing you could take from it for him, is maybe getting his confidence back to, yes, I can trust the knee. I can get out there and run. Should be fine. So hopefully this will go. By the time you're listening to this, you will know who the opponent is for the Crew in the next round. That draw is happening after we're recording this podcast. So take that for what it's worth.
The magic of doing a podcast.
That then airs as if it's a live radio show.
2.5 days after we record said podcast.
Right. That's always fun. We love that. We're very excited about it. Not as excited about Will Sands' injury. That really sucked to see. He is torn ACL, getting surgery, out for the year. This shades of Aiden Morris tearing his ACL.
He's such a young, I mean.
Like, as far as a young player, young, that he has a lot of promise.
Player, yeah.
Yeah. We'll take a break on that note and come back. And I want to discuss kind of the issue there, because, you know, Will Sands tearing his ACL, it didn't just happen anywhere. It happened in a stadium that sadly has a little bit of an issue with this type
of
thing.
So much of an issue that the NFL Players Association president also has an issue, not just a soccer related issue.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that a little bit and then transition into some talk about the Champions League, because if you want to see Champions League matches, you may get to see them in the U.S. in the coming years. We'll find that out when we come back. Thanks for listening. It is Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
So, big loss for the Crew this past week. Not so much. I mean, the game, it sucked to lose the game in Charlotte. They obviously won in the midweek against Indy 11. Yeah. But a player that they lost, Will Sands, who had a nice, you know, start to his Crew career, you know, between last year and this year. This is a guy that a lot of hope was built on for his position, and now he is out for the year with a torn ACL. That game was in Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. NFL plays there. I had forgotten until this past week, because there was a story in the NFL about how the field for, I forget what game it was, but a game
in
like...
It was a December game.
December, yeah. It was, and they had a cold snap in Charlotte, which is not...
It's the coldest game that was ever played in Carolina.
Yes. And the field, they have a rating system, the Clegg system, I think is what they call it.
I'm very familiar with the Clegg system.
you use
it all
the time.
This week, I was Clegg...
Clegg,
too.
Him too.
Clegg's, yep. Clegg system extraordinaire guy. Clegg knower.
Right, I know. So... this system basically has a measuring scale. It goes from 0 to 150. Mm-hmm. Anything over 100 is deemed to be a very hard and not exactly an ideal surface. And I don't know if they said unplayable, but it's above the standard they would. It's a bad level if you're over 100.
It's a hardness scale.
Yeah, hardness scale for the field. So it's something where they judge anything over 100 to be, wow, this is awful. We probably shouldn't be playing on this field. They said in December for that game, which was, you know, freezing cold, that this was it hit 150 on the scale. The scale only goes up to 150. So as anyone who's a larger human knows, if you step on your bathroom scale and it goes up to 300 pounds and you hit the needle at 300 and it's kind of bending past it, that means you may not just weigh 300 pounds.
Yeah.
It may have been even worse than 150. But the point is, it was a ridiculously bad field that the NFL was made aware of and still decided to play the game because, of course, they are. They're the NFL. They're not going to cancel because the field's a little hard.
No,
get out of here.
Grow up.
I was thinking when I heard that story, well, they have natural grass there. I mean, what can you do if the ground freezes? The ground freezes. Nope. Maybe you should put some like warm, you know, some radiant heat underneath. A lot of teams have done that. They wouldn't do that in Charlotte probably because of the warm weather typically. But then we were reminded, no, they don't. They play on artificial turf. They just replaced it with artificial turf this last year. And that artificial turf, unfortunately, is what Will Sands was playing on when he tore his ACL.
Yeah, so it's really disappointing. And again, like the NFL is trying to get, and J.C. Treader, the president of the Players Association for the NFL, is trying to get all the NFL stadiums or venues, I guess would be a better word for it, to replace their turf with grass. And, you know, majority for them is knee injuries, head injuries, obviously. But it's the same thing with soccer. Like when there's a combo stadium or combo venue like there is in Carolina, you know, grass is always deemed to be a little bit safer for the NFL. And I'm totally with it in soccer. I understand from a perspective, like when you get some of these players who have played in Europe for their whole career or down in South America or wherever, like these dudes aren't playing on turf.
Yeah.
Like,
they've never
played on turf before. Like they've played on grass their entire life. Do they train on some turf? Yeah, maybe. But going out and playing 90 minutes on grass is like, I mean, way safer. And some guys refuse to play. Like I'm not, I will not play on turf. I will only play on grass.
David Beckham, when he first came here, often skipped games on turf. I want to say Thierry Henry did that. There was a guy, Juan Pablo Angel, who played for New York Red Bulls. I want to say that would, you know, he would play. I mean, he would skip some of those games too. Guillermo Barros Schelotto would skip those with the crew. And again, that's all players from like largely the mid 2005, 2010, 2012, that era. But, I mean, there are teams that play their home games on turf, you know, like in MLS, quite a few of them. So there are at some point players who just deal with it and keep going, but it's not ideal. And I don't think, and not every artificial surface is made equal either, but the reality is that's not a good playing surface. And look no further than the fact that when European teams come here, even if it's for an exhibition.
So listen, did you read this J.C. Treader article?
I didn't get all the way through it, but I mean, I saw some of the high points of it.
Here was the interesting part.
They won't play on artificial turf is the point there. They'll play on grass. They will ship in grass to play on even an exhibition match for like Manchester United.
Again, like head of the NFL, you know, Players Association said the NFL and its owners have resources to fix these safety issues. And it's inexplicable why there's such a failure to protect everyone on an issue that everyone knows is a problem. It makes absolutely no sense for the European soccer clubs to visit the U.S. every year, including this upcoming summer, and play exhibition games at NFL Stadium on high-quality natural grass, while NFL players are subjected to greater risk on artificial surfaces or your teams that play on turf.
Right.
And it is absolutely appalling that owners are more willing to provide safe fields for soccer players than for football players who are the primary workers on those fields, and who, in many cases, helped pay for the stadiums who those fields lay. I 1,000% agree with J.C. Treader.
Dude, well,
I get it. Like, but it also, you know, MLS clubs that have to play on that turf, and all of a sudden, like, Barcelona, Manchester United, Dortmund, whoever, name your rant, Wrexham, comes over to the States, and you're like, oh, this turf, we can't do it. Yeah, lowly MLS club, like, where they can play on turf, they're fine. But big dogs come over, we have to supply them with a grass field. Like, it's malpractice.
Well, it is, and I think that you're seeing, and I'm not trying to make this a football versus soccer
thing. No, that's not what I was trying to do.
I know you're not, but what I will bring up is this. I think you can look around the world of soccer, by and large, and again, I don't live in every country.
Yes,
I don't speak the language of every...
Yes, you do.
I don't speak the language
bone.
Of every team out there. I'm sure there are cultures and places and pockets of soccer in the world where it is more similar to how the NFL players are viewed by their coaches. But I feel like at least when watching European soccer and all the other soccer that I am somewhat aware of, it seems like there is much more adopted into the sports culture of those countries and places. The idea that, oh, you need time off because your knee hurts? We get it. Like, not that everyone there is thrilled, let's say, when, you know, a Neymar has to take 3 months off or whatever because he's for his sister's birthday.
Yeah.
No. But no, like, if a guy gets a tweak in his knee or his hamstring and he needs to take 6 weeks, like Cucho just did with his knee, right? Like, that is understood to be, well, yeah, because we have this investment in this player and we do not want that to happen. I feel like, especially with the NFL, because so much of it is based around physical toughness, mm-hmm. for many, many years it was, well, suck it up and get out there and right. deal with it. The notion of this makes my joints not feel good. Player after player after player has talked about when you run on an artificial surface versus running on a natural grass surface,
well, there's a natural
the next
give.
Week, yeah. there, yes, next week your joints feel different. You, like, just in general, you have more pain from that. And again, that's anecdotal. I'm sure there are players who would say, I never felt a thing. I played on concrete. It didn't hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. But in general, that is a generally accepted thing that, yes, natural grass surfaces feel better for players to play on. Injury rates are higher on artificial surfaces yeah. than natural grass surfaces when it comes to the NFL. And on top of all that, you have this culture now when a European team comes in or a big international team comes in to play a friendly on your surface, those players, the players don't have to throw a fit. The team is like, we won't go.
Yeah.
The coaches, everyone involved in management is like, we're not even coming up to your place unless you can guarantee us this type of field.
They put grass at the horseshoe for United and was it Real Madrid?
Yeah. Yeah. And they raised the field up to make it wider because down in that bowl, it's too narrow. Yeah. So they made, yeah. The point here being the culture from a ownership management level is these surfaces are bad and we refuse to put our players at risk. In the NFL, you have guys like Jerry Jones. Jerry World has artificial surface. Mm-hmm. Some of the more powerful voices in the NFL have artificial surfaces. And I wonder if it's just those guys don't want to reconfigure their stadiums. Those guys don't want to think about this. And I honestly, I don't know. I'm not trying to make accusations. I would love to know if any of these people have any investments in any of these companies
sure.
that make artificial turf. I think that would be worth noting in any type of news sense. If that is the case, I think we should know that too. But yeah, when you have players, and I know injuries happen on natural grass just like they do on artificial surface.
Sure.
Will Sands' knee could have been going anyway. But this is something that I think has to be dealt with and looked at a high level. When you're playing this type of competition, you have to figure this situation out. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will get to the Champions League possibly coming to the U.S. and how we feel about that. And also we'll discuss what went on in the Premier League this past week. Some of these results, if you're listening on the radio, will already be old news, but we'll talk about it next. You are listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Thanks for listening. If you are checking us out on the radio, you can follow this podcast wherever you get podcasts. Just search Bone and Beam United. You can also follow us on Twitter at Bone Beam United. Plenty of soccer discussion there. Of course, this is a time of year where you've got it all happening, right? We've got Champions League coming to its conclusion, final weeks of the Premier League and all the domestic leagues around the world, other than Major League Soccer, which of course is in the midst of its season.
Right.
So you've also got the Women's World Cup coming up in this summer. We're excited about that. We'll be talking more about that as we get closer to it. So, yeah, lots to get into. That's why if you can give us a follow, I think you'll enjoy it as we give you occasionally brief glimpses of soccer knowledge on this podcast. We
very, very
do
small.
Our best to occasionally, only occasionally, unleash our fury of soccer knowledge. So Champions League, we love Premier League. We love Champions League. We love watching European soccer. Mm-hmm. Love MLS too. Champions League in Europe has always, of course, been played in Europe. That makes sense. That's how that works.
That's where it lives.
There's a discussion point coming up, though, Beam, about possibly playing big Champions League games in the United States.
Mm.
And I don't feel great about this.
I don't get it.
Yeah, so explain how this came about. Like, it was the president, right, who was talking about
this? Yeah, it was the president of UEFA came out, and, you know, they have their, I don't know, shareholders meetings or, you know, quarterly, how are we going to be corrupt this quarter, like, you know, thing. And, you know,
gathering of supervillains.
Gathering of supervillains.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Gianni Infantino is the Sepp Blatter's, you know, he's there just like conducting the entire thing. But this came about because obviously we know if you're living here, like the U.S. is tapped into Europe for sports. And like if you're an NFL fan, like your teams sometimes go over to like Wembley or Spurs Stadium and like play in these games. And like, you know, I saw it last year, you know, teams went over to Munich. And so like the world is becoming smaller. Like you're all kind of interconnected.
Yeah, the NFL is playing regular season games in Europe and has for many, many years. So that is not unprecedented if a regular season competition was going to come over here,
right,
necessarily.
So the thing with the Champions League, like all of a sudden we've seen a boom in the popularity of soccer, right? I think we can all say that.
Right.
You know, where it was 10 years ago is different than where it was 5 years ago. And the appetite now for 5 years past this will be, I would imagine, even more. And the people who are in charge of UEFA and FIFA are like, aren't stupid. They could be corrupt, but they're not stupid. They have said, all right, well, what's the best way for us to get the best bang for our buck and perhaps open up these other areas and avenues of revenue stream? Because that's all you're looking at, like revenue stream. Like this was a league that had to fight off a super league because like, oh, this is better for bottom dollar. Screw the fans of other teams. Like it doesn't matter. Like that's kind of where we're thinking at. It's all based on the almighty dollar. And the president of UEFA came out and said, like, we don't know when this is going to happen. Like, it's probably not going to happen this year because, you know, we've had a crazy couple of years. And obviously we're getting to the end of it here in 2024. Like, we got the Euros and 26. We got the World Cup happening and all these different kinds of things. But he came out and said that the possibility of the exploration of playing Champions League games in the United States is a possibility. And I've said this a million times before on our radio show that we do. Like, I am a very selfish person.
Right.
Like, I would love to see, like, if we took the podcast for, like, you know, a group stage Champions League game. Name your two teams. Like, Napoli and I don't even know.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Whoever.
Like, well, like, if it, like, to your point, not that these are bad teams, but if it was Benfica,
Ajax, and
Porto,
Club Brugge.
Right. Like,
who cares?
There would be a lot of us that would be interested in that.
But those teams wouldn't come to the States.
Well, that's right. Number one, they wouldn't take those. They wouldn't do that because they'd say, we don't think this is a big enough deal, even though to many soccer fans it would be. The other part of that is I don't think you or I would feel good about Benfica or Porto or Club Brugge or Ajax fans losing out on a Champions League game.
That's what I mean.
Get to host.
I just, so if I'm trying to like figure this out as to how you could do this. And again, the only thing I keep coming back to is like, if you hosted a final here, that would be awesome. Like, that's cool. That's a long trip for your fans to be able to attend an event like that. But I can't imagine a world in what you're ripping away home games. Like, you get through the group stage, you have three games. You have three games. You have three home games and you have three road games. Your fans get to three. And this might be a one-off experience. Your team may not make a Champions League for 50 years.
Yeah, you don't know.
And you get a big European night. Like, all of a sudden, like, Real Madrid's traveling to Cyprus, you know? Like,
sure.
Who, like, you can't take that away from those fans. I'm like, sure, Real Madrid's won the contest like 15 times or what, 13, 14, whoever knows how many. Like, their fans have seen plenty. But the fact that they were talking about taking away Champions League games from their own supporters doesn't make any sense to me. If you wanted to do it, I would be more on board. And I know the Premier League has talked about this, and they're probably going to do this sooner rather than later. Like, if you want to take a home game of a Premier League and make it like a weekend, like, hey, all of the games that we're playing in this match day, like, they're all being played all around the country in the States. And we're just going to take one match day across and we're going to play them all across the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you got 38 of those.
You know what? They could even do an international day where it's like, this is our international match day. We do this in honor of, I don't know, find some like World Heritage thing to tie it in with or
whatever,
something. But then, yes, you could say, like, we're putting three Premier League games in the United States. We're putting one in Canada, putting one in Mexico, putting a couple in Brazil, a couple over, like, a couple in India, like, all over the world. You've got fans all over the world. You make yourself the global game, and then every fan base.
Global league.
Right. And maybe you do it in a way, or maybe you do two of those a year, where no team is getting an advantage by losing, like, every team's going to lose a home game and an away game. That way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same. I don't know. Whatever. The point being, it would suck, though, because what if, like, I know that we do this, right? The NFL loses this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know who typically loses the game? Like Jacksonville. Or most of the time, I know every NFL team has to go over there at some point. Most teams do not have to give up a, you know, most of the big time teams are not giving up. The Cowboys don't go over every other week, no, right? You know what I mean? Jerry Jones doesn't make
and
that
the Cowboys
happen.
Aren't losing a home game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And like, I feel like what the NFL does is basically say, well, we know which fans don't really care about their team. Mm-hmm. What fan base can you say that about in the Premier League?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Like, maybe Tottenham, but that's for a whole slew of different reasons.
Yeah. Evil Bald Colin's going to come in. Actually, he would agree with you. He's like, yeah, screw those guys. No, but like, I
know exactly what you mean.
I don't understand why. I'm not trying to. This sounds like really oddly like I'm defending these fans' rights to like never lose a game. I get it. It's a global game. It's billion-dollar industry. But at some point, don't we? I mean, I don't know. I'm torn between the notion of really wanting to go watch a Premier League game. But again, if I go watch a Premier League game in Phoenix, is that going
to
feel
watch a Premier League
like
game.
Yeah, cool. I get to see Manchester, but like. I can go see those teams play exhibition matches, and it would feel the same. If I want to, I would actually feel like my first Premier League game. I've never been to an actual Premier League game because I've never been to England. Mm-hmm. I would not want my first Premier League game to be like at Bank of America Stadium, like we just talked about, right? On some trucked in grass they had to put down. I'd rather go and see it in one of the proper stadiums there in England, because that would mean I got a trip to England. I get to see
you get
the
to
real
do the whole
way.
Thing.
Yeah, like. I don't want to go see. Maybe if you've seen 10 of them and you travel to England all the time and you're like, oh, cool, my team's coming over here, that's different. I'm sure there are lots of people that would go for that. Right. But for me, it would lose something. I would want to go see it just like I would assume you want to go see the Yankees playing in Yankee Stadium. If you're from England and you're a baseball fan, wouldn't you want to come see that team play in their natural environment? I would think so.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And again, the idea of just like being like, oh, we need to expand into America. Like, yeah. I get it. You want to tap into the resources that we have here and you want to grow the game, but like you're rewarding your teams for getting into the Champions League by making them go play road games and big European nights, which don't come around so often. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I am with you on that. And I think it's a very, I don't like this idea. And I don't know with Champions League, especially how you could do it. Maybe Premier League, maybe a regular season game. Champions League is going to be tough. And again, like you said, they're probably going to try to do it with, you know, think about it. Chelsea and Real Madrid.
Of course.
That'd be an easy one. Real Madrid, a huge club. Chelsea, American star on the team, in theory, right? I mean, they would probably have put a game like that. And then you think about those poor Chelsea fans. When's the next time they're going to be in Champions League? You don't even know.
Yeah.
Could be 20 years from now.
Could be 50 years from now.
Sorry. I couldn't resist a chance. Man, that is a rough year for them. Anyway, we will take a break on that note. We will discuss the Premier League, the table. We'll get all that set up. And discuss a team that had to apologize to its fans. And we'll talk, finally, if we have time, about a team that we're rooting for to make it into the Premier League. That's all next. It's Bone and Beam United here on The Fan.
I'll just say the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
All right, we're actually going to stop screwing around. We're going to talk Premier League now. Like we said, we're going through this entire show. Arsenal, Manchester City, they banged heads.
Somebody banged somebody's head.
There was some banging going on. And Manchester City dominated this game. What was it, 4-1 it ended up? I turned it off after 3-0. And yeah.
I went for a walk after 2-0. And that's when neighbor Eric proclaimed that he's a City fan.
Yeah. Well, hey, so. Good time to pick Manchester City.
Why
as they're
not?
Just
still
coming back.
Eligible for the. And it's gonna hurt my heart. And I know last year you gave me a bunch of hell and a bunch of flack for cheering for City instead of Liverpool. They could be the only three-time winners in a row of the Premier League. They're also still eligible for the FA Cup final, which they're playing in against United come the beginning of June. Mm. And, oh yeah, still eligible for the Champions League, in which they're playing a semifinal against Real Madrid. So they could be three-time back-to-back-to-back Premier League title winners and treble winners, which...
Did anyone see this coming when they brought in Erling Haaland?
I don't know.
Perhaps the greatest goal scorer of his generation.
Couldn't have been us. We were bamboozled and hoodwinked by the fact that this guy, while coming to Manchester City, just, I guess it was a decent signing. Like one of those guys that went really under the radar.
Man.
He said, wow, if you were to sign an actual striker in which you've already scored a million goals, like if you actually had a true, real number nine, I wonder what you would do with him.
Dude, and you're seeing it now. Because I was watching this game in the studio while I was doing our radio show. So
poor Ted.
I was not watching it exactly. Yeah, Ted is an Arsenal fan, our producer, for Common Man and T-Bone. And, yeah, he was not happy. He did have his Arsenal shirt on and said, well, man, got to wear it before they get overtaken by Manchester City today. So he knew. He knew what was going on. But I'm watching that, and I saw the first goal, which De Bruyne has scored, right? And if I'm remembering it correctly, like, this is multiple times. I'm also probably remembering a few that were almost goals because there were so many chances Manchester City had in this game where they're just pulling Arsenal's defense apart. Mm-hmm. But part of that is because there is so much gravity to Erling Haaland.
There has to be.
You have every time the man looks away, half the defense has to shift and move because they have to stay in front of him, and they know they can't for the most part. And that opens up so much more space for defenders now who have to go just – you get bad mismatches one-on-one with guys who – is Kevin De Bruyne at his prime? No. But is he still
really
effing good? Yeah, absolutely. So that – and so he gets that first goal, and it was just an onslaught from there. I actually thought Arsenal was going to get out of it, just holding to a 1-0 lead. They got the review on that free kick that ended up being onside.
And then they were dead.
They were dead after that. Yeah, I thought if they held on 1-0 maybe in the second half – they retool, regroup, and come back out.
No.
That goal killed them. So that was where Arsenal's lead in the Premier League still exists.
Yeah,
still
there.
They're 75 to 73 points over Manchester City. They're 2-point lead. But Manchester City has played two fewer games. You would presume Manchester City's going to erase that deficit. And they got both the games against Arsenal this year.
City in their last five have won all five. Arsenal have lost, drawn three, and won only one. It's not the way.
That's not how you come into it and win the championship. No. That's just not how it happens. Big shout to Newcastle, who, of course,
that was awesome.
The you know, they're not my guys. They are the opposite in the Tyneware Derby, which you have up in the northeastern corner England. That's where Sunderland plays. Sunderland would love to reignite that rivalry, mm-hmm. but they can't right now because they're still in championship. But Newcastle, I don't know if you want any of Newcastle right now because they're a top four team. Likely to be. I mean, there's still a lot of soccer left to be played. They are likely to be in Champions League next year, which is just ridiculous.
Of course they are.
Great turnaround for them.
31 games played, 59 points. They share the same amount of points as United, who sit on 30 games played, so United with a game in hand. I mean, Tottenham, what are you doing? I mean,
dude,
what?
Tottenham's so brutal.
I doubt Antonio Conte was watching this game, but I know Antonio Conte was looking at that final score and say, see, I told you so.
Yeah. Well, they had that horrible game against Newcastle. And then afterwards, what did they have? Like 3,000 of their fans traveled up to St. James Park. And
they were gone in 20 minutes.
They were embarrassed. They were decimated.
It was an empty away stand in 20 minutes. It's 5-0 in 20 minutes.
Yeah, dude. That's even by ridiculous blowout standards. That's a ridiculous blowout. Yeah. So the players actually decided to reimburse the fans.
Good for the players.
For the tickets. I don't know if that was
very Spursian, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if that was like ownership saying, you will do this, or that was the players just saying, yes, we've screwed up. Sorry, we'll take care of that. But either way, a nice gesture, and I think more teams should adopt this policy. And I think your favorite team, the Chicago Bears in the NFL, and my favorite team, the Cleveland Browns, would be bankrupt if they had to do this for the amount of times that fans have traveled and watched those teams lay an absolute egg.
This is the way the world works, too, because Tottenham obviously just got buried, and their interim manager to the interim manager to the interim manager, who was supposed to finish out the year, got fired. They play United today, soccer podcast day. If you're listening on the radio, Saturday, that was Thursday, 3:15 kickoff. Tottenham will beat United's brains in today. It's just the way of the world.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's just the way of the world.
You know what? I'm going to say Manchester United gets it done and puts Tottenham back in their place. That's what I'd say. We'll find out. I'm not rooting for your guy.
Either
we
will find out, and we're speaking of that in the sense of talking, or we've already found out, depending on when you're listening.
This is such a time warp doing these shows this way. So that's not great for Spurs. Also, relegation battle update. We talked about this a little bit. Leeds United.
God, it's getting a little bumpy.
Yeah, so your bottom three right now, Southampton with 24 points, likely to be relegated. I don't think there's much of a chance of that changing. Everton on 28 points. Man, it's getting close. If Everton's going to rescue it,
it's got to go now.
You
got
to find a time. That would be the time to rescue it. It's not looking promising. Both those teams, though, have a game in hand on Leicester City and Nottingham Forest and Leeds United. Those three teams, Leicester, Nottingham Forest,
I think Burnmouth
and Leeds,
are feeling okay about their situation. They're at 33. They're 3 points above Leeds, and they're four. They're only 4 points out of the drop zone right now.
That's right. Leeds, Nottingham Forest, and Leicester City are all, they've all played 33 games.
Oh, God.
Leeds and Nottingham Forest are safe as of now with 30 points. Leicester has 29 points. Leeds and Leicester played this week and played to a 1-1 draw. Mm-hmm. Leeds got out early. Nice goal there. And then Leicester found a way back in and was able to get that second goal. Leeds had multiple chances at the end of this game to try to get the victory, could not get it done. That would have been a massive extra 3-point swing for them. They couldn't do it, so that battle remains close for Leeds. Nottingham Forest is right there too. Everton having the game in hand gives them some life. If they could get a win out of that extra game, that would put them right back with Leeds, Nottingham Forest, and Leicester City. And
bad news for Everton, that game in hand comes this weekend. And by this weekend, I mean today against Newcastle, who just destroyed Tottenham. And then, I mean, it's like relegation battle.
Yeah.
Like, knock them out, drag them out, because it's Leicester and Everton coming up Monday, May 1st.
Yeah.
Like, so that one.
I am with you that Bournemouth is probably out, like, out of danger. It's coming down two spots for four teams. Leeds, Forest, Leicester, and Everton. Two of those teams are getting relegated. Southampton's done. I think that's how it probably goes. All right, we didn't get to it, but go look up Luton Town. They have a chance to get into the Premier League. We're rooting for them to do it because they have one of the best facilities. 10,000-seater. Could be a Premier League team next year. Let's hope it happens. We will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.